Welcome to the Hope Athletics Orange and Blue podcast, our fourth season. Amazing how much time flies when you're having fun. My name is Alan Babbitt. I'm Sports Information Director here at Hope, and it's my privilege to come and share the stories of Hope Athletics and our pillars of academic success, competitive excellence, and transformational experiences. And today's guest certainly exemplifies that. Kara Vanderkamp, our class of 1995 women's soccer standout, and then also the 2024 Hope for Humanity Award recipient. Welcome to the Orange and Blue podcast, Kara.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This award was presented started in 1990, and it's presented to Hope alumni athletes who have demonstrated Christian commitment and service to others in their careers after Hope. What does it mean to you to be chosen as this year's recipient?
Well, first of all, I would say it's a huge honor and an enormous surprise. I was very surprised to receive this award. I know there are so many alumni out there who played sports at Hope who are doing amazing things. And so to be singled out in this way is pretty humbling and a big honor. Yeah.
When you look back on your time as a student athlete at Hope, mm-hmm. what comes to mind when you think of playing soccer at Hope? What jumps to your mind, Kara?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is fun. I was thinking about that earlier today, that I just loved playing soccer at Hope College. It was being part of a team and just the camaraderie. And, you know, we weren't just teammates. We were really great friends. We did a lot together. And, and I think just the whole sports experience is one that brings you together too. You suffer together, you work hard together, and then you enjoy, you know, when you have wins and stuff, you get to celebrate together as well. So, I loved playing soccer here.
What else jumps out to you about your experience at Hope? Maybe more so, you know, whether in the classroom or professor or a class or an event that you were involved with. What are some of the other things when you think about Hope College and your time here?
Yeah, so, a lot comes to mind. I mean, I think it's kind of cliched to say that 4 years, is such a short amount of time relative to, you know, my life, but it really stands out as a significant time here at Hope. I think about my professors, how, I think one of the things about Hope that I just loved was the fact that the classes were a little bit smaller and the professors truly care about their students. And so that was impactful. I think more specifically, I think of things like we did a trip to Beaver Island. I think that was a May term where we took some disadvantaged children from the community here and we did a backpacking trip on Beaver Island. I did a Washington semester. And that was very impactful for me. I think that really helped set a course, a direction for my life and what I wanted to accomplish. Just all the small things too, all the fun you have with your friends and the challenges that you have.
I know I should say you were an accomplished soccer player as well, two-time All-MIAA first team, first Flying Dutch to receive All-Region honors in soccer, and then you ended your career as all-time leader in assist. You were co-captain as a senior as well. What did you learn about leadership involved with the Hope soccer program that has helped shape you into the woman and professional you are today?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things I really love about soccer is it truly is a team sport, that everybody has to play at their best in order to be successful and to win as a team. You have to sacrifice for the team. And so, as far as leadership is concerned, I think really trying to find the strengths of every person on the team and then drawing that out of them. I find that I use that all the time in the work that I'm doing now, just trying to find the right people and the people with the right skill set and all of that. And then encouraging one another, being positive, and challenging each other as well to bring out the best.
How did you pick up the game? When did soccer become your game?
Oh, maybe when I was 5 or 6. It was very much, I'm from Midland, Michigan. Okay. And so that was very much a big sport in Midland. And so we started early and then played all the way through high school there.
How did you come to Hope?
Well, I was deciding, I was debating between Calvin and Hope, essentially. And if I'm being honest about it, my brother went here. And so I came to visit him and had a really good visit, a good experience. And so that's why I chose Hope.
We should give him some credit. What's your brother's name?
Oh, Brad Vanderkamp. Yeah.
When you came here, did you know that you would have a heart for missions when you were here? Or did that something you knew before, or is that something you discovered here or after you graduated?
Yeah, I think it's something that I've always had a heart for service. Like, I've always enjoyed helping people who maybe didn't have the same opportunities that I've had throughout my life and haven't had the same blessings that I've had. And so I knew I wanted to go into a field that was helping people realize their potential, realize their God-given potential. And so I went into education, really, here at Hope, and then with kind of a focus on political science, which is, I was very interested in that as well at the time. But it was after college, I was looking for a job, a teaching job.
Okay.
But I knew that I wanted to do something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so my grandmother actually gave me a an advertisement in from the Church Herald, the Reformed Church Herald, and they were looking for teachers in Kenya to teach missionary children. And so that's how, you know, I thought, oh, yeah, I'll apply for that. That sounds like an adventure. And so I ended up going to Kenya for a couple of years, and that kind of led me on this path.
You went on to also earn your master's degree in Columbia in Comparative and International Education. And then in 2007, you went to Niger, and obviously your life has been changed. Tell us first about the Remember Niger Coalition and the work that you do as a group.
The Remember Niger Coalition, our mission is to unify people and mobilize resources to expand quality educational opportunities in Niger. And basically, what we do is we come alongside Nigerians. Generally, it's a local church, but it could be an association. It could be a different group. And we come alongside of them, and they start their schools. They have a vision, a plan for a school in their community. And we come alongside of them and help them realize that vision. So we do things like school construction. We have a sponsorship program. We've put in solar-powered wells. We have a whole variety of things that we do because we really tailor our approach to our partners' needs and their vision, their desires. But Niger is one of the least developed countries in the world, and it's the least educated. Only about 50% of children have the opportunity to go to school there.
Okay.
And that's only for, maybe even a couple years. So of looking at girls, of the girls who start primary school, only 5% of those girls continue on to middle school. Yeah, so I just think we have this awesome opportunity, and I can, if you're interested, I could tell you a little bit about the history of that, but we have this really amazing opportunity to work with Nigerians who own and operate their schools and are really doing a great job of providing quality education to their neighbors' children, their children, and in a country where most children don't have that opportunity.
How did that particular spot in the world, how did you get there from Kenya?
I went back and taught in Chicago for several years and then went back for my master's degree, as you said. And as I was finishing up my master's degree, a missionary who was the director of missions for, I believe, she, the Presbyterian Church at the time, or maybe it was the Reformed Church. But anyway, she had been in Kenya, and we had known each other, and she knew about this position in Niger. And it just seemed like the ideal position to me because of the fact that I would get to work with Nigerians.
Okay.
And help them, support them in their efforts, which is what I really
I really believe in that. I don't like to come in and just tell people what to, you know, they should be doing. I want them to lead the initiative. Yeah.
Tell us more about the coalition you were mentioning earlier, about kind of the expanse of what you're doing, and you know, the opportunities maybe there for people, you know, Hope alums to support.
Yeah, that would be great, because they're, first of all, I think it's exciting. It's exciting any time that you can you find an opportunity like this. Where so basically, when I lived there, I was there for 2 years, and I was working with local church leaders and helping them establish schools in their community. And what became apparent to me pretty quickly was that they had everything that they needed. They had the vision. They had a pretty concrete plan. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to start schools in their community, in their country. What they lacked were partners. Hmm. And I thought, you know, really, I think I could be more useful going back to the United States and helping them find more partners. And so that's how Remember Niger started. And so when we started, we had 3 school partners, about 400 students. Since that time, we now have 18 school partners and over 5,000 students that we support. And there are more. Like, there's more opportunity there. I just feel like it's just so ripe for, being able to make a concrete difference in a country that, you know, they just do not have the same opportunities that we do. And so if you want to make a difference, I'm telling you, this is the place to go. Because, you know, like for a school construction project, we usually start with 3 classrooms, a 3 classroom block. It's about $45,000 to build. Well, I mean, to be fair, it's a basic concrete building. But when you compare that to what you're spending here in the United States, it's nothing. And so, you know, to send a child to school, it's about $35 a month through our sponsorship program. It's like you change a life for $35 a month. It's just, it's to me, it's incredible that we have this. I keep saying opportunity. Yeah. I need to come up with a different word.
Where's the best way? And I got a few more questions about it, but before I forget, what's the best way to learn more and to find a way to donate and support the coalition?
Yeah, you could go to our website. I think that's probably the easiest way. It's Remember Niger, N-I-G-E-R, .org. Yeah.
Obviously, with this group, you've been a strong advocate, you mentioned earlier, for girls, but also for disabled members of the community there. Tell us about the heart particularly for that. Obviously, you're there to service, you know, the youth there, but a particular focus, you know, with girls and disabled?
Yeah. So we started working with the disabled. We actually started with the deaf community. There's a deaf school in Niamey in the capital. And I mean, it was just, it's heartbreaking when you go to the school and they just have so few resources, and the teachers are overwhelmed, and the teachers don't have the training that they need as far as like sign language. And so we came alongside of them, and we put in a resource center for them, and we put the tools in that they needed so that the kids could learn sign language. And I could go into more detail about that, but it's basically a computer lab, library, resource center there. But then we also have a partner. It's Hosanna is the name of the nonprofit organization. They also have a church as well associated with it. But then they partner with the Association for People with Disabilities. So it's a super neat partnership. Like, I can't say enough great things about the school that they created, and coming alongside of them and helping them start a school. We just, with the help of donors here in West Michigan, actually, we just built 3 more classrooms there. Oh, wow. So they're up to 6 classrooms now. But their vision is to go all the way through high school and even have a dormitory there. Because, you know, in Niger, the disabled are, I guess at minimum you would say they're overlooked, you know, but at worst they're discriminated against.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, the kids don't have the opportunity to go to school most of the time. I think the statistic is less than 5% of children with disabilities mm-hmm. go to school.
Heartbreaking.
And oftentimes what happens is the parents will just kind of put them in the house and that's where they are. They stay there all day. So this has been amazing to be able to work with them and really help, you know, help the least of these.
I was just looking at the numbers here, and during the past 15 years, more than 80 classrooms in 13 different communities, as well as 115 teachers receiving training annually, and I think there are 400 boys and girls in primary school, and then 98 girls in middle and high school who would not otherwise be educated. And the partner schools have a 90% pass rate on the national exam.
Yeah.
When you have moments like that, obviously you're busy and trying to do as much as you can, but what does it mean when you see the success and that continue to grow from where you started, you know, back in 2007?
Yeah. It's really rewarding and exciting, but I have to admit, like, I just cannot, I'm so focused on, like, the other, and I'm going to say this word again, opportunities, that I'm like, okay, that's great, we did that, that's good, but we need to keep moving forward. We can't lose sight of the prize here, which I think maybe we could tie back to Hope College and soccer and, you know, like, working hard, because you come across successes and challenges, but you've got to stay focused. Yeah.
Obviously, and those listening, and some, you know, there's a few student athletes here that'll mm-hmm. be graduating, you know, this year and graduating soon. What advice would you be for them to find their calling to be to serve in the world, whether it's in Africa or Asia or right here, you know, in North America, in the United States? What would you recommend, having experienced what you've experienced so far, to help them, you know, find their calling and listen to what God, you know, wants them to do to help others?
Yeah, I think it's, they're at an exciting point in their life where they're just, I mean, that's, you know, there's so much possibility that they can do. So first of all, I would say enjoy it, you know. But my advice would be, you know, you have everything you need to be successful. You're at Hope College. You're in the athletic program. You have, you know, you're being challenged academically, you know, athletically, you're part of a team, you're learning everything that you need to, you're gaining everything that you need to be successful. So regardless of the path that you choose, I would say, you know, go out there and be successful. And then don't forget to look for the opportunities to be of service. But really, I mean, for me, I would say, to empower other people, to come alongside of them and help them realize their vision. Because what you start to realize the more you're out there is that we are really lucky people, that we had the opportunity to go to this amazing institution and, you know, be with these, obviously what makes Hope great are, it's the people, right?
Yeah,
and the
certainly.
Students, the everybody. And so I think, you know, taking that gratitude and using it as, you know, a motivator to help other people and assist them. I have to say, like, for me personally, working with our partners, my colleagues in Niger, like, it is the privilege of my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And there's so much, you know, it's sad because life is so hard in Niger for these people, but there's also joy mixed in with that. And so I would just encourage people to experience that. And yeah.
Remember, folks, remember Niger, so RemembrNiger.org. Go check out the information and support the wonderful, this wonderful coalition and all that Kara and her team are doing there. And this concludes episode one of the new season of the Hope Athletics Orange and Blue podcast. Look forward to having more conversations in the coming months with some of the great people here at Hope that strive to not only for success in the field, on their field and in their classroom, but also serving God's community as well. Thank you, Kara.
Thank you.